T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome back, Wisconsin, to the Bill Michaels Show here on a Monday. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola in for Bill. Billy is on vacation. He'll be gone all week. Today it's me solo. Tomorrow, Marcus Paff from The Score and Appleton will be here. Tim Allen will be here Wednesday, and then Marcus Thursday, Tim on Friday. I'll be here throughout the whole course of the week. You'll be hearing my two cents. We've been talking a lot of Brewers, though, in the first couple of hours, and we're going to get more on this Brewers-Braves series coming up. Brewers start a 3-game set tonight at Miller Park against Atlanta. Mark Zeno, from the Sports X down in Atlanta, he'll join us at the bottom of the hour. We also want to talk a little bit about Giannis and really cool ceremony they did downtown in Milwaukee yesterday, honoring Giannis with the MVP award. We'll get into that and some of the comments he made. But joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, a guy that I go way back with, one of my first mentors in this business. I worked with him at Fox 6 as an intern, and he's had quite the career at Fox 6 and also at Channel 4. Now he's launching his own product known as the Wisconsin Sports Stream. Tom Pippin's joining us now. Pip, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. Always great to be with you. One of the nicest people ever. A smooth swinger on the golf course, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know. And I would say that Bill better be careful. He might get Wally Pipped. You know, remember the old Wally Pipped, Lou Gehrig?
Sure.
Lou Gehrig took over. That goes way, way back there. I'm aging myself. Even I wasn't around at that time. But you're a terrific talent. I'm glad that the big unit can come to you for relief, and he deserves it.
Yeah, no, it's always a great opportunity to fill in and do a solo show. It ain't easy. Let me tell you that right now. It ain't easy, right. But it is great experience and very fortunate to be doing it, Pip. I appreciate it. Before I get your thoughts on really some of these Wisconsin sports teams, including the Milwaukee Brewers that are just treading water right now, tell us a little bit about the Wisconsin Sports Stream and what's that all about.
Well, first, Joe, thank you for the opportunity to do so in front of your great listeners. And, you know, I mean that sincerely. We have history that goes way back, as you say, both at Fox 6 and with your fine station. And we started a podcast up. I was approached soon after retirement. By golly, it's probably, it was 2 years ago this past February, so time flies. And it didn't seem like the right time, personally or professionally. I knew I wanted to do something, Lord willing, if blessed with health. But it just, I think, was a good time for me to step back and just take a pause. And so we did that, and then eventually, I think it was back in December, got together with a couple of fellas, great guys, Mike Betker and Brent Yunk, and on the air with me, Packers historian John Dodds, and you know Jay-Z, you know him quite well. I've been on the Marquette scene forever, covered the Packers for 40 years. John Dodds is the Packers historian. And he was a then Oakland Raiders scout for a while. That's how much knowledge he has. He does statistics for Wayne Larrabee on the radio broadcast of Packers games. And he said, Pip, I've been doing this forever. It'd be nice to try to make a few dollars if we could. So we come together, and we've been recording at a wonderful place in Heartland called Enters Sports Bar and Tavern. Pat Enters is the owner. He's been very gracious. Had some live audiences. That was fun. And then we said, well, we want to try to get some real eyeballs to it. And so we turned to Leroy Butler, who, as you know, is very active in the sports media market, one of your teammates, and on social network, he has all those eyeballs, and so we're trying to sell it. Well, in the midst of all this, relatively recently, as you say, here comes WisconsinSportsStream.com. They have a fantastic studio with an awesome set, and Tom Kurtz is someone who ran the roundtable at Spectrum, and he, along with Jason Ruff, another former Fox 6er, as Tom was, wonderful photographers. He has his own People Creative business. So, in essence, we're now a conglomeration. So, if people go to WisconsinSportsStream.com or the Tom Pippin Show, or but I think in particular for now, they'll see us on set, and the look is fantastic, and we're doing a roundtable. It's called the Sports Thread, Joe. We hope to have you on sometime, I would think. We just got done with Doug Russell and J.R. Radcliffe. We've had Tim Van Horn as a guest, along with Lance Allen, and even more. So a lot of great people, and it's on a weekly basis. So there's a lot of content up there already at WisconsinSportsStream.com. Subscriptions are available for that. Nominal, probably $40 for the entire year, and you'll get your fix of sports, because unlike TV especially, but even radio, as you're aware, and I have to be aware right now, there are time constraints, but not so with the stream. We just go on and get all our thoughts out, and it's something that we hope will be very interactive for those who are out there, not only listening, but watching, because like the video podcast that I've been blessed to be a small part of, the WSS is video-centric, so that makes it unique and kind of fun.
Yeah, people nowadays like to watch videos more so than read articles, and that's the kind of the sad part about it, but that's what you want. Videos grab more attention. So WisconsinSportsStream.com is where you can check it out. A lot of good stuff already happening there. Pip, I want to transition over to sports. I want to get your thoughts on this Milwaukee Brewers team. How do you look at this team? I mean, is this underachieving? Is this who they are? Is this a team that maybe it makes more sense to be sellers at the trade deadline than buyers? How do you look at the Brewers right now?
Well, I don't want to see them be sellers. Obviously, it's a bit premature, but you bring up a good point, Joe. If they continue in this fashion, they have played below 500 ball for some time now. That might be out there. I choose to try to be a little bit more positive, not that you're being negative, but you know what I'm saying. In terms of this team, they're still in the picture. The NL Central has been down all year, but we see the Cubs are starting to do what they should do. So you're saying, hey, can the Brewers do this? I'd like to think so. Last year, everything came at the right time, it seemed. You know, everybody had great seasons. They had relative health. This year, starting offensively, Jesus Aguilar starting to get a little bit, but my goodness, he's had a tough stretch since the All-Star break last year when he was an All-Star. And Eric Thames is coming out a little bit, but they've had a hole or two. Mike Moustakas, great pickup again. He's so thankful he was out there All-Star season. Yasmani Grandal, the same. But I think you have to look to the pitching and say, what in the world is going on other than Brandon Woodruff, who's been outstanding, and he could even hit a little bit, and Zach Davies. And other guys have been disappointing, and I'm mystified by Corbin Burns. Corey Knebel out all year, we know that, with the arm issue, the Tommy John. So you've got a hole in the bullpen, and other than Josh Hader, I think that's the big problem. Night in and night out, when he goes to his bullpen talking about Craig Counsell, they, for the most part, have not been able. And then when they get good pitching, you know, it's tough to score runs. Right. Christian Yelich is having another historical season. This All-Star just continues to rake. But you've had issues with Lorenzo Cain because of his injury. So I think overall, Counsell said it best. And this is what happened last year, Joe. You remember when they made their run. They were getting contributions from everyone across the board. This year, that's not been the case, save a couple of the names that we've mentioned. And that has to change if they're going to stay in this race and have a serious consideration to be someone either who's playing postseason because they win the division or as a wild card.
Yeah, it's a very complicated situation for the Brewers, and we're still a couple of weeks away from the trade deadline. There's certainly a lot of needs here for this Brewers team, but I just don't know if everything can be addressed. It's going to be a really tall task for David Stearns and company. We're talking with Tom Pippins, longtime sportscaster, now part of the Wisconsin Sports Stream. You can check out his stuff at WisconsinSportsStream.com. Let's shift over to the Bucks, Pip. You know, the Bucks were able to retain pretty much everyone on this roster outside of Malcolm Brogdon. Do you still see them as the favorites in the Eastern Conference?
You know, I do. I was disappointed they couldn't keep Brogdon, but you couldn't get everybody, and you knew he was going to be offered a bunch of money. So I think they did what they could. They trade him to Indiana. They get a first and a couple of seconds, I believe. And in re-signing George Hill, I like Wesley Matthews out of Marquette for a year. Robin Lopez. They re-signed his brother and then to bring him in. George Hill to me is huge. I think that he was so very good in postseason. His playoff experience, he's a savvy bet. You got to have those kinds of players to win. You knew that they had to get Chris Middleton. Hey, you want to keep Giannis happy. So I think for the most part, they've done a very good job. And I'd like to think that they will be there at the end for the Eastern Conference. Philadelphia, with Kawhi Leonard going over to the Clippers and getting out of the conference, I think you take a look at Philadelphia, though, and they sign Al Horford. They're a team, the Sixers, have been a pretty tough matchup with that good young talent across the board. So I think they would be, all things being equal, they would be the ones who could give them the best run for their money. But I think there's a great shot for these Milwaukee Bucks to take that next step, especially when Giannis, who, as you mentioned earlier in your show, Joe, is being celebrated as the MVP and say, I'm only 60% of where I want to be. Well, I don't know about that. You got to give the outside shot and hit him from the charity stripe. We found that, especially against Toronto, when they could put four wide down there at the baseline and wall him in when his teammates weren't necessarily hitting shots. But I love that attitude, and I think he wants to be here. I think he wants the championship. He's got the want-to that all the great ones have. So I'm encouraged. The more I talk about, hey, last year, you know, I was disappointed the way it ended, no question, the four straight losses. But that was a historically great season with 60 wins and best record in all of the NBA. And I think, Joe, they can build on that. And, again, if they're blessed with health, I think they will.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Let's go over to the Green Bay Packers. Are you encouraged by what the Packers have with Matt LaFleur, with Aaron Rodgers, trying to figure all that out, trying to make sure they get on the same page, and then also the defense, the fact that those guys have taken another step, and you keep Mike Pettine? I feel like I'm more promised by what the defense has to offer than what the offense has to offer. How do you see that?
Well, with this sports thread, we had Doug Russell and J.R. Ratcliffe on just before our segment, and that's the point that they made, that Pettine is someone who's just great to have back. I think he's one of the finest defensive minds. I think he made chicken salad, if you will, last year with all the shortcomings that they had there and injuries. And so the infusion of the free agency, I love to see them, you know, good out there and spending some money. And what they did in the draft, it really excites me, they move up to get him, and he's going to be playing safety. You've got Amos coming over from the Bears, the Smiths. So I think this defense has a chance to be really good. I like what they drafted, you know, the first-round player. It's Gary, isn't it? I get him confused here and there. I think this kid's going to be a very good player if he's blessed with health. He's had that shoulder injury. So defensively, as you say, they might just be able to help the offense out, and you need that. The last time, as we remember, the Packers won the Super Bowl. They had an outstanding defense, even with all their injuries, and they have got to have that to help Rodgers out. I think most important, the dynamic has been talked about ad infinitum between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. I think these two are going to get it on. I think they're going to do great. They'll come to a compromise. Aaron understands his legacy could be tied into this. He knows of the criticism with Mike McCarthy that he received on his shoulders last year. He hasn't been healthy. He's got that edge on his shoulder. Are there enough weapons for the offense? I think that they're really depending on the young receivers to make that jump from year one to year two. You have Devontae Adams, a returning Jimmy Graham. So I think Aaron Jones back there, I think the potential, I like what they did with some of the draftees on that side of the ball. I think the potential is there, Joe, if all things come together, and so many things must, as they often do. We talked about the Brewers earlier. It just was magical that way. You need that. But if it happens, I think they could wrest the division back from the Vikings, and I think they have a chance to get to the postseason and go deep.
Pip, I hope you're right. We'll see how this plays out with the Green Bay Packers. Hard to believe training camp is about 10 days away, and then we all reset and we try to figure out what this Packers team's going to look like come September. He is Tom Pippins, longtime sportscaster here in Milwaukee, and now is launching the Wisconsin Sports Stream. Has already done a few shows. You can follow them on Twitter at WSS Stream. You can follow Pip on Twitter at Pippins, P-I-P-I-N-E-S, Tom. And go to WisconsinSportsStream.com for all that good stuff that he's putting together there. Pip, thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Joe, being with you and the listeners, like the window on Aaron Rodgers, I know my window is closing here, but hope to do it again. It was a great privilege, and I think we can be positive with those pack. I think they're going to excite us. That's what I'm banking on. Have a great one, Jay-Z, and keep on shining.
Yeah, you too, Pip. Take care, man. Always good to get Tom Pippins on. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them at 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. On the other side, we will go over to the Milwaukee Bucks. I need a little break from the Brewers. There's just everyone's brain wants to explode just thinking about the Brewers. Let's talk about the Bucks. Let's talk about something positive. Giannis. Cool moment yesterday, being honored in downtown Milwaukee, right outside Fiserv Forum. And he says he's only at 60% of where he wants to be when it comes to achieving his full potential. You talk about a humble kid. We'll talk about what he had to say and what is the first thing he needs to improve on. That's next, right here on the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the Bill Michaels Show brought to you by Wisconsin, Harley-Davidson, and Oconomowoc. This week, you get to go platinum, the award-winning Harley-Davidson dealership. Wednesday from 6 to 9, it's another big bike night at the Wisconsin Harley-Davidson with great food, cold drinks, a special appearance of the Corbin Sprint Cars, which is sponsored by Wisconsin Harley-Davidson. Plus, also live entertainment called Southbound. They're going to be there, door prize drawings, and the famous T-shirt toss as well. Saturday, you can make plans for a fun afternoon at the Barbecue Bash, noon to 3. There's lots of cold beer and delicious freshly grilled brats and burgers by the Oconomowoc Lions Club. Your brat or burger is free with your donation to the Pewaukee Food Pantry of 3 non-perishable food items. So there's a lot going on out there. Enjoy live entertainment by Maple Road, door prizes as well. The bike night is Wednesday night. Saturday, the Barbecue Bash. That's Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, just minutes west of Milwaukee off 94. Take exit 282 to Highway 67. It's right there south of the highway. You can't miss it. For more information, check out WISHD.com or call them today, 262-569-8500. Just go to Wisconsin Harley-Davidson and enjoy yourself. That's WISHD.com.
Wisconsin wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Let the good times roll, and I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is? If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key.
Please, after this day, don't call me MVP, because until I win the game next year.
There he is. That's Giannis yesterday outside of Fiserv Forum. He's your MVP, and he does not want to be called the MVP anymore until he wins it next year. I like that. Humble as he always is. Welcome back to the Bill Michaels Show. Radio Joe Zanzola with you. Anthony Mandela producing. Toby's on the other side of the glass. So, some really cool stuff yesterday. My understanding was that there were 20,000 people around the Deer District. Is that number right, Anthony? 20,000?
Sounds about right to me. I didn't see an official number. I just saw many a Snapchat story from the back row of that 20,000 or so crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it. I saw pictures. I saw video of it. That place was packed. And rightly so. Rightly so. For once in our lifetimes, for Anthony's lifetime, for my lifetime, for Toby's lifetime, this city has a superstar. I mean, we got a superstar in Christian Yelich for the Brewers, and we have Aaron Rodgers. But for the Milwaukee Bucks, we're talking about the Milwaukee Bucks here. Years and years and years and years of mediocrity, clinging on to guys like Michael Redd as our star. This is so cool. This is so cool. Got the MVP on our team. I might be a media guy, but I'm also a fan. And that's the one thing that I, whenever doing shows, whenever talking sports, I will talk like a fan because these are my teams. And to see Giannis being honored up there, to have that ceremony, to hear all those fans chanting MVP, to hear all those fans. I mean, Giannis, he goes up there and he's like, you know, what do you think I need to improve on? And fans are yelling out stuff he can improve on. And he's open to that. You know, Giannis, really, he's kind of his worst own critic. I mean, he knows there are things that he has to work on with his game. And there were a couple of things first in the piece from ESPN that came out just a couple of days before he went up there to be honored in downtown Milwaukee. And the big thing was, he has not achieved his full potential. And I would agree with him. I would agree 100%. I mean, this guy's, what, 24 years old? He's the MVP, and yet there are still parts of his game that could definitely be improved. He says, quote, in the ESPN piece, a lot of people say, you are the MVP. You are the one of the best players in the league. You are so dominant. But I think I can get better. I think I'm at 60% of my potential, as good as I can be. I just want to be better. If I am in the same situation again next year in the conference finals, react better, play the game better, play better, execute better. So as you heard, Giannis then was asking fans, fans were just shouting this out at him at the speech yesterday of what he can improve on. And one of the things that was common from some of those fans, and I think it is the first thing that he can improve on, is free throw shooting. There is no question Giannis can get better at the line. I don't ever expect Giannis to be 90% from the line. I don't expect him to be as good as, say, Chris Middleton or Malcolm Brogdon. But Giannis certainly can find a little bit more consistency. And there were times last year when you watch Giannis at the line. I remember there was a night he was like 10 for 10, 12 for 12. And that's encouraging. That's encouraging. We saw how much missing free throws in critical situations in the playoffs cost the Bucks. And those points add up. You miss one here, you miss one there. Next thing you know, you've missed six of them. 6 points you've left off on the board, and that could go a long way changing the tone of the game. And I think that's the biggest thing Giannis has to improve on. If there's one thing that Giannis has to take that next step in, it's free throws. And he's young enough to where he can get better in that regard. I think later on in his career, as those knees start to wear down a little bit, and they will, he will have to reinvent himself as a shooter. Just like some of these other guys, like Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin's a great example of that. Blake Griffin for years was this dunk master, and that's all he could do. You know, I always think of the most overrated dunk in history was jumping over that car. He only jumped over the hood of the car. There's really no way you could actually jump over a car and dunk it without touching the car. I mean, that's just, that dunk sucked. But we all knew what Blake Griffin was. The guy was just, it was just night after night, he would be putting up these highlight reels of these sick dunks. But as those knees began to wear down a little bit, Blake Griffin had to change his game. And Blake Griffin had one of his best seasons this past year for Detroit because he was more of an outside shooter. And he was a pretty good outside shooter. And I think as Giannis's career goes on, Giannis will have to be better with his jump shots, be better with his threes. I think last season, early on when he was taking threes, it was really bad. I mean, he was like 14% or something from three-point territory. But in the second half, those numbers actually improved. I think he was shooting somewhere in the neighborhood of like 30, 33, 34% from three. It's not bad. And that can certainly get better. Now, I don't know how much time he's going to spend this offseason, you know, in the gym, working on threes, working on free throws, but the free throw part, that's something he can work on right now in the short term. In the long term, three-point shooting will be something he's going to have to adjust to. It's the only way he's going to be able to stay relevant and be at the top of his game. I mean, LeBron James, same thing. LeBron James, throughout his career, we all know how ridiculous he was with dunking the basketball, attacking the basket. He doesn't do that as much as he used to. He hits shots everywhere. That's what makes LeBron James so great. Giannis can do that. I don't doubt anything he does with his ability. I don't. There were a couple things Giannis said yesterday after he was done meeting. He says that he does not want to become complacent.
Like, I get mad when my girlfriend say, oh, you're really good. You're one of the best. Or when my brother says, oh, yeah, you're top five, you're top two. I get mad. I'm like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Because I feel like when that happened, I relax. I'm a person that whatever I do it 100%. If I'm lazy, I'm lazy 100%. If I work hard, I work hard 100%. So I do not want to relax a bit because I'm not done yet. I'm not done, and I want to be for multiple years one of the best players in the league. And by people calling me the MVP, that's not going to help me. That's why I said from this day on, I won't be the MVP. I'm Giannis, and let's go get something bigger.
Don't you love him? Don't you love him? Giannis also says he's already at work, and he's getting better for next year.
You know, I'm all over the place. I'm in New York the one day, I'm in L.A. yesterday, Milwaukee today. Like, I'm all over the place. But at the end of the day, I got to remember what makes me great, what I do, what my job is, which is being a basketball player. I try to, you know, sneak in workouts and stuff. I don't know where Ben is. You can talk to Ben. I remember it was a few days ago. We were in Las Vegas, and I had a video shoot. And I told Ben, I'm like, we got to work out like 5 a.m. Like I got to do my, it was like 5 a.m. Can you come tonight? I was like, no, we got to work out at 5 a.m. So I cannot forget what makes me great, which is working on my game, you know, improving. So, but it's been a busy summer. But I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah, it's been ridiculous where he's been traveling to. There was one other comment that I took away from the Giannis piece, which I think should give a lot of you guys more encouragement and more optimism that Giannis isn't going to leave Milwaukee, because I don't think he is. I've come a long way with that take. There was a time where I had doubt. I don't really have doubt anymore. Listen to this quote here before we take a break. Giannis says, my goal is going to stay the same. Get better, take it day by day. Step by step, and the ultimate goal is to win a championship. As long as that happens, we are all on the same page, and we're all focused on that goal. Why not play for the Bucks 20 years? Why not play 25 years? Why not? After playing, being a member of the coaching staff or a member of the front office? Why not? But we got to have the same goal. We've got to have same principles. We have to focus on winning a championship. And I think as long as this ownership group and John Horst stay committed to that, like I think they did based on re-signing pretty much everyone on this team outside of Malcolm Brogdon, that's what they want. You keep Giannis happy, he's going to stay here. And I think right now, that shouldn't be an issue at all. I really don't. Just make sure he signs a Supermax, and we're all good to go. Coming up next, we'll preview Brewers and Braves. We'll get the lowdown on the Atlanta Braves. That's another incredible baseball team. Mark Zeno down in Atlanta, he'll give us the perspective. That's coming up next here on the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the Bill Michaels Show brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Are you ready to go hog wild? Cousin Subs' famous Cubano, it is back along with the new Wisconsin pork and Gouda. You can try the Cubano with ham, Genoa salami, pulled pork, Swiss cheese, and so much more. Or the Wisconsin pork and Gouda featuring pulled pork, bacon, Wisconsin smoked Gouda cheese, onions, mayo, and Dijon mustard. Oh, so good. Order them online at CousinSubs.com for a limited time only. Delivery is now available in select locations, and that's Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the Bill Michaels Show. Radio Joe Zola with you. Follow me on Twitter at Radio Joe Sports. Brewers and Braves tonight, the first of a three-game set kicking off, and the Atlanta Braves continue to play some really good baseball coming out of the All-Star break. They have won 7 of their last 8 games. They have just swept the San Diego Padres. They went out to San Diego, swept them. The Brewers couldn't beat the Padres in a single game. The Braves sweep them. I don't know. This is setting up for maybe disaster tonight. I'm trying to be as optimistic as I can about the Brewers, but it just doesn't feel good. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline from Atlanta, the Sports X 106.3 FM down there. He is Mark Zeno. Mark, what's going on?
Joe, always good to talk to you, brother.
Yeah, all right. So tell me, what this Braves team, I mean, they are just, they're on a roll right now. What is the biggest thing that has led to this hot streak for them? Has it been the pitching, or has it been more so their offense?
It's been their offense all season long, really. I mean, you know, everything from Austin Riley getting called up and providing an injection of power into the lineup and more protection, Ronald Acuna getting moved up to the leadoff spot and sending Josh Donaldson down to the cleanoff spot where he belonged. You know, that May 1st switch really was the catalyst for a lot of different things that happened offensively. This is a team now that's going to put 6 guys who are going to hit at least 20 home runs this year, barring, you know, a major injury to one of 3 of them who haven't hit yet 20. But, you know, this is a team right now that puts together a lineup that can mash the baseball. you know, at least 1 through 6, if not 7, depending on what the lineup looks each given day. And so from that standpoint, there's tough outs up and down this entire lineup. They've gotten great pitching, obviously, from Mike Soroka, who won again yesterday, and Max Fried. And now they throw in Dallas Keuchel in the mix. Beyond that, I think a lot of their pitching is a wild card. And everybody here in Atlanta is, you know, wondering what the next 2 weeks are going to hold and who they're going to acquire at the deadline and how they're going to address the starting rotation and the back end, because their bullpen clearly still is of some major concern.
Well, I know the Atlanta Braves for a while now have really put together a strong farm system, and they have, I believe, 5 top 100 prospects according to MLB.com. And a lot of those guys are really at the double-A or triple-A stage. So are there guys in that farm system right now, Mark, that are can't-miss prospects that the Braves are trying really hard not to move? Or at this point, are they willing to say, hey, we'll part with anyone as long as we're getting a premium player back?
Well, listen, there's a couple of things at play here, okay? Look, the name's Ian Anderson, their top pitcher, and Christian Pache, who is their double-A outfielder, who already, by many measures, pro scouts will tell you he's a gold glove-type center fielder. They're going to get Ronald Acuna out of center field next year. The intent is that Pache probably would start in center, depending on what they do with Nick Markakis and, where Austin Riley is, if he's moving to third base, so on and so forth. So there's that. I mean, those are the two big prospects that nobody really wants to move because of 6, maybe 7 years of team control. Right. The Braves front office, and Alex Anthopoulos is probably one of the most, if not the most, aggressive GM in all of baseball. And you have essentially taken what is a Ferrari of a GM and put a governor on it, not allowing him to put the gas pedal to the floor, because ownership of the Braves, Liberty Media, which is a faceless owner, won't allow him to spend, won't allow him to go out there and acquire major contracts. And so this is a organization that has kind of sold you on the fact that these young pieces are the key to the future. Now, if you ask me, there's not a single guy who has never played in any of the majors who isn't untouchable. You can trade all those guys. I mean, you know, I keep reminding Braves fans, the Cleveland Indians a couple of years ago traded their top prospect, Clint Frazier, with the New York Yankees for Andrew Freakin' Miller. They traded him for a guy they ended up making a middle reliever. Like, I mean, you know, so everybody in the minors can and should be had. Would you move a guy like Austin Riley? Maybe not. I think you've seen from a 40, 50-game sample set that that's probably a body you want to hold on to. Could you move maybe a guy like Mike Foltynewicz, who at this time last year had just come off an All-Star appearance and, you know, thought was going to be the anchor of your staff, and this year, right now, he's pitching for Triple-A Gwinnett. I mean, could you move him? Yes, I think absolutely you could. So what the Braves decide to do at the deadline will be very, very telling. But I don't know if I've ever seen a fan base that is more in love with prospects than the Atlanta market in general. Like, I posed a trade on Twitter to fans, and Braves Twitter absolutely despises me. I said, look, you'll get Jacob DeGrom from the Mets, and you have to give up Christian Pache, I named before, Ian Anderson, I named before, and Austin Riley. And people were going to come to my house with pitchforks and knives and flaming sticks and ready to chop my head off, because the idea of that, it wasn't that Jacob DeGrom makes $30 million a year. It wasn't that Jacob DeGrom is 31 years old and that's a risky proposition for a pitcher. It wasn't that he was under contract 5 more years. It was that they couldn't give up these prospects in the minors. That's what set Braves fans off. How dare I trade those guys? And I'm sitting there going, that's Jacob freaking DeGrom.
Right.
Like, if you say DeGrom, Keuchel, Soroka starting your postseason, that's better than what the Dodgers put out there. That's a rotation that wins you a World Series. How do you look at that and go, nope, don't need that? I go, you're nuts. Because I tell everybody, look, when you get close, you go all in. And you guys, Milwaukee did it for CC Sabathia years ago. Remember that? And
oh, yeah.
It paid off. It got them a playoff berth. I mean, they went all in, and it got them a playoff berth. What did the Indians get back for it? I don't really remember, because none of those guys ever turned out to be anything. So from that standpoint, I am all for teams pushing in and going for it. I told Braves fans repeatedly, whatever move you're going to make at the deadline, if it doesn't close the gap with the Dodgers, then it doesn't need to be made. Because at that point in time, there's no reason to make it. I think the gap between the Dodgers and the Braves is the same as the gap between the Braves and everybody else in the NL. And the only thing the Braves have to focus on is closing that gap and knocking off the 2-time defending NL champions. If the move isn't designed to do that, then I don't think there's a reason to do it. Just ride the string out and try to fix it in the offseason. But I'm not sitting here. Marcus Stroman does nothing for me. Like, he doesn't excite. Couldn't he be hot the last 2 months in a different team, in a different lineup, and go, you know, 7-0 down the stretch and make a huge difference? Yes. Are the odds against that? I think so. But Marcus Stroman, I don't think, separates you from or closes the gap with the Dodgers and says, I could send out Keuchel, Stroman, and Soroka and be fine in the postseason. You're sending that out now, if you ask me. I mean, you may as well send Max Fried out there. I don't know if there's much of a difference. So I am just somebody who's really aggressive when it comes to this stuff. If you're going to push your chips in, push all your chips in and try to go win a damn World Series, because if you're not doing that, then what's the reason you're even going for anything?
Talking with Mark Zinno from the SportsX 106.3 FM down in Atlanta. So, I mean, if there's one guy that you think the Braves should really go after, regardless of, you know, what ownership thinks, you know, put all that off to the side. If you're Mark Zinno and you're the general manager, who's the guy that you really want to go after for the Braves?
Well, I'm sitting here hoping that the Washington Nationals, well, by the way, start a series with the Orioles tonight, or tomorrow night, rather, lose every game in the next 2 weeks and hope that Max Scherzer is available.
Mm.
Because that's the kind of move. Here's the thing. Like, I get that Madison Bumgarner, you know, he's not the 2014 version that you're getting. He's a guy that's a three-month rental. So I understand in general it's hard to sell off controllable assets for 3 months of a rental. That, to me, makes a ton more sense to say, no, I don't want to do it. But if Jacob DeGrom was available or Noah Syndergaard was available, I understand their trades have been in the division and they're highly unlikely, but go get them. I mean, that's really what you want to do. I think that is a move that clearly makes a huge impact on your team. And the same thing with Will Smith. I'm not all there for that. I mean, I think that there are better guys to go and get. I think the reliever they should go after is Felipe Vasquez of the Pirates. I mean, you look, this is a guy that you will get team control over. Sure, he's going to cost a lot because closers always do at the deadline. There's a premium on him. You know, the Pirates are a team right now that isn't necessarily in a playoff race, despite the fact that the NL Central is very, very crowded from top to bottom. But this is a team right now that's below 500, so they may decide to just sell off and say, it's not for us. I mean, the Pirates have a negative 48 run differential. And the Cincinnati Reds, as you know, who are a game behind them, have a plus 33 run differential.
Right.
So the Pirates are probably a lot worse than what their record actually says. That's a guy I'd go after in the bullpen. But I don't know that they'll close the gap with the Dodgers without addressing getting a starter and a closer. Because if you're a Braves fan, you guys may see this in this series. When the door opens for the ninth inning and Luke Jackson comes out, every Braves fan gets a bucket to throw up in, because that's how nauseous it is watching him pitch. I mean, it's just a wild ride. He's not a closer. He's not a guy that you can hand the keys to in the ninth inning. Brian Snicker has anointed him as such, and he continues to give him the job. All of us continue to scratch our head and wonder why. He's done a good job, but it doesn't come without, let's go first and second with one out in a one-run game before we decide to get the final two outs and make everybody nauseous for 15 minutes in the ninth inning. That's kind of what happens. So they need a back-end guy. They need another proven high-end starter where you can move Mike Soroka to be the third starter in the postseason behind Keuchel and somebody else. If they do that, they'll close the gap with the Dodgers. But I think I'm a go-big-or-go-home kind of guy. If you can get Scherzer, if you can get Syndergaard or DeGrom, I mean, these are the names you got to go for, because you're not going to close the gap with the Dodgers without it. Could Madison Bumgarner be that guy? Yeah, but it is a major roll of the dice.
Real quick, Mark, before I let you go, Dallas Keuchel, he's actually pitched pretty well since, you know, being out there in free agency for a couple of months. How surprised are you by how well he's pitched?
I'm surprised he hasn't had better results. I mean, look, you know, wins aren't everything, but for a guy who's got a 3 ERA, you would expect that they have, they would have put a couple more wins in his starts together. That said, you know, he's going deep in games. He's taking some pressure off the bullpen. I didn't think there was ever any question as to what Dallas Keuchel could do for any team. I think it was just a question of people not wanting to give up a draft pick, which, again, is silly, or lose any compensation for him. But had the Braves had this guy since the beginning of the year, 20 games over 500 might be, you know, a little bit different. They might even be more than that. I think he's pitched really well. He's had one bad start that has kind of really changed his numbers. But beyond that, I think he fits in well. I think he's kind of the ace that you need. I think he's a guy that could push them over the top in the postseason. But, again, Keuchel is a rental for the Braves going forward. So you've decided to give him a contract for the rest of this year. And if you don't cash in on it, you know, Keuchel's going to prove, he's going to pitch his tail off and prove that somebody's going to give him a 3 or 4 year deal next year at a high dollar value. And it's likely not going to be Atlanta. So from that standpoint, you better get the most out of Keuchel as you can. Let him continue to pitch really well, and hopefully gets you deep into the postseason.
Brewers and Braves tonight, the first of a three-game set at Miller Park. He is Mark Zinno from the SportsX 106.3 FM down in Atlanta. Mark, as always, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Joe, you're the best, bud. Take care.
Yeah, you too. And he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. We'll have more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
This portion of the Bill Michaels Show brought to you by our friends at Van Horn Automotive. Sometimes a ride around the block just not enough, and that's why Van Horn, they offer the 90-day test drive program. Now, they've got 15 dealerships all throughout the state of Wisconsin, and that's what I did. I went to their one in Plymouth to the truck center and got the new Ram 1500, took it for 90 days, loved it, ended up buying it. And if you're not satisfied, the best part about it, you can return it with no additional commitment, or if you do buy it, you can save up to $2,000. Like I said, I got the 2019 Ram 1500 and love it. All you got to do is go to vanhornauto.com and shop the inventory that qualifies for the 90-day test drive program exclusively at Van Horn. Go to vanhornauto.com. That's vanhornauto.com. Family born and employee owned.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.